Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I've just been reminded that it's World Radio Day. So yes, happy World Radio Day to you too, those of you who listen to us, maybe even some of you who drive past the building and notice us as we broadcast here from Kaya House. Always a pleasure having you on board. And that also means that it's an open invite to have you join us do the show. So share your voice notes with your questions, perspectives, and maybe just opinions. 063-688-0959. And I ask this specifically because one key aspect that affects all of us has to be the South African economy. But beyond just the economic performance, it's also what it is that we see from National Treasury's point of view as to how they manage the public purse. Everything from the revenue that's derived in terms of taxes, how that money is actually distributed amongst SOEs, municipalities, and even us as citizens through the different institutions which we're able to access in terms of government services. So tonight we thought it best just to get an understanding of the wish list that has been prepared by PwC South Africa as we anticipate the budget speech to take place next week Wednesday in Cape Town, which will give you coverage of. Perhaps some of these suggestions will fall on the ears of those listening from National Treasury. Joined in studio now by senior economist at PwC South Africa, the phenomenal Kanti Pai. Such a pleasure to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. It's been so long.
Thanks for having me, right?
Yeah.
I'm always excited to speak to you, especially because I guess we've been seeing each other's growth and evolution. Yeah, sure. But more so, I typically always joke that economists never sleep well because there's always something new
to contend with. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right? And the last 6 months of 2024 was kind of calm, and then boom,
right?
Here
we thought this was
going to
be the year.
But maybe let's talk about this being the year for South Africa's budget, Kanti. Yeah. Ever since we've been following National Treasury and the budget speech, one thing's for certain, it's always a tight rope to maneuver and to manage. Your general expectations, especially just in terms of growth and tax revenue, what are your expectations?
Look, certainly I think that, you know, we say this all the time, right?
Yeah.
That this is going to be a tough year. I think for me, I'm always hesitant year after year to say this is going to be a tough year, but I think this is going to be one of the much more tougher years because of the curveballs that this budget actually emerges under. And the short-term curveballs, there are things we always expect, and we see those coming, and we sort of thought, you know, they should have thought about it.
Yes.
And that's really the kind of stuff we have to do in terms of spending on infrastructure.
Yes.
We know that's been an issue. But then there are new things that have emerged. We know, for example, some of the issues that will come because of what we call it at PwC, the rule of Don.
Yes, the rule of Don. I like that. No longer Trump card.
You know, because that's one of the key things. And really, one of the key areas, also some of the things that have emerged. So one of the things we talk about in our expectations is one of the key debates that we've seen that is much more political than it is economic,
yes,
which is you know, the really tragic deaths in the DRC. And that has forced a lot of pressure around thinking about we should be spending more on our military or on our defense. And that's not something that has been a big pressure over the past few years, I guess. And that maybe the minister will start to feel that we need to allocate more. Last year we thought, when this was being budgeted, that, you know, we were only going to add 1% over the medium term. 1%, 1%, 1%. But that probably looks like it has to grow a little bit more.
Definitely.
Because of some of the calls that are being made by political parties in particular. So that's one area that we think is a big curveball. Of course, we know another big curveball is on the issue around the support that we've been getting externally,
yes,
for our spending. What we call aid.
Yes.
But really, that really speaks to that kind of support that I guess for a long time we should have known, we should have planned around it for quite a while. And even though perhaps we've got some reprieve this year, but the minister has to say something about what we're going to do about actually filling that gap, especially around the HIV medication, but any other area where we actually have been getting support in terms of aid, because clearly we need to plan better around how we do for aid. So that's another big curveball.
Mm.
Certainly, another part that we've really been thinking about, and I think we think of really serious of concern, is the money that we are paying for in grants. You remember?
Yes, SDR, the social...
SDR, absolutely.
Distress relief grant.
Yeah, depending on, of course, what how the government reacts, whether or not they're going to challenge the finding by the court in terms of what the court found around the SDR grant and how it's actually evaluated. If it's not, then that also adds to the public purse.
Mm.
We thought that we were going to rationalize that down. So I think the number was around -8.7 because, you know, we're going to look at who's stealing, who's doing what,
yes,
and who's doing what, at the same time make sure. But perhaps if we now need to load more people on that, that actually changes the picture. And then lastly, we know we settled also at 5.5% for the public sector wage bill. That's another area where there's probably another area of pressure.
Yeah.
And that's one other area. And maybe lastly, actually, the municipalities, always yes. a big thing. This year in particular, because we know the capacity of municipalities and how close they are to people. I always say to people, always people ask me like, but what about, well, how does it affect the normal person? And the municipality is always an easy one
exactly.
to go to. Yeah.
And I think this is such a valid point that you're mentioning. And what's striking me about this particular budget, Kanti, it seems as though the management of expenditure, where we allocate much of this funding, is actually what's critical. And it comes at a time where we're not necessarily seeing phenomenal growth in South Africa either. So again, we need to be very considerate about where we allocate this capital to.
Certainly. I think one of the key things, if you listen to the minister, the governor of the Reserve Bank when he was delivering,
yes.
I think he put us at 2% by 2028 or something, and I thought, my goodness, we have
that always takes me back to the NDP. Remember
right?
the NDP and 5% was the goal by 2030.
Really, and that's where we're going, and really, we are not reaching out to that. We said last year, and we're really concerned when the budget came, when the Minister of Finance came in and said, "Look, we are looking at 1.6%." I think that's the number, and we thought, well, we really don't believe that number because we think that in terms of the reforms that we are seeing, while we are really positive and bullish on the reforms, but whether or not actually they've been entrenched and they're actually taking root in terms of what
yes.
they have to do. And then certainly this year is probably another year to say, look, we've done a lot of work. Operation Vulindlela has really set in
yes.
and we think it's really, really good. But of course, we've got to spend on that now mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, the reforms we've done at Transnet, the reforms we've done at Eskom and all of that, we have to spend it. And the minister has to speak on that. And we know that obviously Transnet has also asked for money.
Let's talk Transnet, especially Transnet, because just coming out of the mining endeavor last week, there was a heightened focus on some of the solutions that they've brought to the table, opening up their railway networks
sure.
to include private sector participation, and very clear and very quick deadlines as
absolutely.
To how they're looking to form various partnerships and consortiums to bring them on board. The money, though, Gandhi.
That's where the problem is. One of the key areas the government has done some really good work on, and I think we are very happy about, is to look at, you know, these public-private partnerships. That
yes.
has been a very difficult area because everybody's saying, well, the government doesn't have money, so how do we bring in the private sector?
Mm-hmm.
So that work looks like it's been has progressed some well. Recently, we saw a report that came out of that to say, look, it's going to be easier now to, you know, to work with the government under $2 billion to be able to bring in a project and to support it. So that's probably one area because we know last year, I think they'd asked for $90 billion.
Mm-hmm.
They only got about a guarantee for 40 or something like that. So they've come back. The chairperson was speaking this past week,
yes.
asking for more money. And hopefully that there will be something that he gets. But it's very difficult because I think there is very little to bring out. Again, especially because we're looking towards a very, very tough year.
Mm-hmm.
The curveballs that are coming, I mean, I heard your previous conversation around some of the issues that we are facing because of you know, Trump.
Yes.
One of our big concerns there is really thinking about trade. Remember, if we have these tariffs and then we have trade wars, as a commodity producer, you think about trade wars as something that says demand is going to be less because then people fighting,
mm-hmm.
that means productions, you know, and the value chains and all of that. And therefore, as a commodity producer, which is an input into that
mm-hmm.
environment, is something that we are concerned about, that we think is going to affect. That's one pathway that it might affect us through in the coming year. And of course, that's revenue. We know that, you know, when the mining sector
yes.
does well, we
exactly.
do very well.
And I'm hoping you can touch on that because we all recall a time whenever the mining commodity price cycle dips, we actually see and feel the impact when it comes to the tax revenues that we're able to
absolutely.
Commit. Last year, SARS actually collected at least 1.7 trillion rand in terms of tax revenues. And I understand the expectations are slightly softer or muted this time around.
Yes, that we might come short about 40 billion.
Oh.
It's not a lot of money. But we know that that's what Transnet is asking for. So
yes.
it's so you can feel it. Certainly, again, you know, there's been, and actually it's across the board where the softness has been, particularly though with VAT, where we notice that. And we think that the issue, obviously, is that, you know, that's consumption, really. You know, the consumer is also the fuel levy. So people are struggling. That's actually showing.
What about Two-Pot, Kant? Sometimes we sit here and we speak to SARS, we speak to these insurance
sure.
providers, and they tell us that there's, what, 43 billion that's been withdrawn?
Yeah.
Has that been enough in terms of an addition to,
look,
to the tax
that
coffers?
Has been important. One imagines that there are two parts to it, and one of the things that, you know, especially when you talk to our colleagues who are financial advisors, you know,
yes.
when we're asking them, why do you think this money is going to go, and also the retailers. Some of
yes.
the retailers are hoping, we're just going to get that money, it's going to be spent in our stores. Some of the financial advisors are telling us, well, these guys are probably going to pay off some of that debt because it can free something. You know, if you had, for example, taken that 30, let's say you got in all the 30,000 rand, if you got that in, you're able to actually lower your debt.
Yes.
And maybe you've got a little bit extra then now to spend because it has freed up some of those repayments. So that's what they were saying, but it's difficult to tell actually where that money went.
That's true. I'm glad that you mentioned that we have seen the reduction in VAT. And of course, as we do see personal income tax also being a significant contributor. Companies tax, though, for a while, there's been murmurings that they might push that up to the 30% mark.
Yeah.
Would it be worth it, number one? Is it too risky? Could we see it happen?
Look, I mean, that's not what you want to tickle with, especially in this kind of environment.
Yes.
Where businesses are not particularly doing well. They actually need a lifeline themselves. We need investment. Remember, when we think about company taxes, we think about what we take from them and then what's left in the kitty for them to invest.
Yes.
So the question has always been, where is this money better off? In the hands of the business, in the hands of the income earner, or in the hands of government? And that's always an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
But certainly, this is not where you want to actually take from them, because you're hoping that whatever you leave in their hands, they put back into the economy, they reinvest into their own businesses to make sure that we are growing, especially because many of these companies have struggled in a high interest rate environment.
Yes.
That we've been in. Many of these businesses would have had it difficult to be able to reinvest. So hopefully you leave something in their hands.
Yes, just to keep the confidence going. Clancy, sure. I could speak to you for hours on end. I don't want you to go. But just as we wrap up, let's also just talk about the international perceptions of South Africa and how much weighting this budget speech has on that. FATF, we can't forget the grey listing.
Sure.
And of course, when it comes to credit ratings agencies.
Very important. And the Minister of Finance, at WEF, said that he thinks that we can be back at investment grade in the coming 2 years. But of course, if we think about these concerns that we have in terms of our expenditure, and one of the things that's been growing has been really debt as a percentage of revenue,
mm-hmm.
because we have a problem with those collections.
Yes.
We hope we're going to collect, but we don't quite reach, and that's something of course that is being watched by ratings agencies in terms of our ability to hold tight. But the potential for slippage is relatively high, and that's something that's going to keep us. So are we actually going to meet that debt threshold? And it looks like it's going to be a very, very, very difficult game. So that ratings improvement is not something one we hope for, but we don't really expect that's something that we can look forward to under the current circumstances.
It needs the reforms to come through in a multi-pronged approach from the different departments.
Absolutely.
As well. It's a tough one. We appreciate this guide for Kotongwana that you shared. Remember, years ago it was tips for Trevor,
yes.
pointers for Praveen. Now we're on guide for Kotongwana.
We wish him the best.
Exactly. Such a pleasure having you, Kanti.
Thank you so
really
much
appreciate
for having
your
me.
Time.
It's wonderful.
That's Kanti Pai, who joins us as a senior economist for PwC South Africa, talking about PwC's wish list for the budget speech next week.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.